Begin the current daf, Maseches Bamitzia, daf Tzadik Gimel. Begin 12 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, in the series of these Mishnahis, which talks about the halacha that a worker, while he's working with produce, the Torah says he's allowed to eat what he's working from. So the Mishnah continues, and we elucidated this Mishnah on the previous daf, that says, Kaitetz Adam al de Atzmai. A person could stipulate as a worker with his employer that he wants to take the monetary value instead of eating the produce. I know I'm allowed to eat from this food as I'm working, but I'd rather not eat, I'd rather take the monetary value. He can make that stipulation with his employer. Now, so too, he could do this al yidei benayu bita gedolim. If, let's say, his adult daughter or son is working somewhere, he could make up with the employer that he should get the monetary value and not that his kids should be eating all day. He could do this al yidei avdi v'shevchasa hagedolim. If, let's say, his non-Jewish slaves, are adult slaves, are working somewhere that they shouldn't be allowed to eat, that he should get the monetary value instead of that. Same thing as al yidei ishtai, if his wife is working somewhere. And the reason for that is because they have intellect. They're aware, they can acquiesce to the boss's, meaning their father or master's or husband's deal that he's making with their employer. And since they're Michael, they can go ahead and do that and give up their rights. Now, aval ein kaitzitz, but he cannot make the stipulation with his minor sons and daughters. Neither for his minor slaves, the male or the females. And so to v'loyal de behemtoi, which is actually even another purpose because of leisachsim sherbedishai, and memneishem en behem das, because all these individuals, they don't have intellect, and therefore they cannot be agreeable to give up a certain right that they have, and therefore the father in this situation, the boss, the master, cannot make these stipulations, and the kids, those who are the employees, are going to be able to eat while they're working. Mishnah moves on to another halacha. Hasechras apoil on this topic. Hasechras apoil, when someone hires workers, lasses benet to revaishalei, to work in his fruit tree in the fourth year. So although when a worker is working somewhere, he's allowed to eat, but it doesn't apply to netar avai because you're not allowed to eat the netar avai fruits out of Yerushalayim. Just like ma'aser shen, you have to bring them to Yerushalayim. So to hear it's forbidden, and therefore they can't eat from it. But says the Mishnah, Imloy Hedian, if the employer didn't notify his workers, I just want you to know the fruit tree that you're coming to work for me is forbidden fruits, you can't eat it over here. So then Pay de Machil, and he has to redeem them, which you're allowed to do, just like Maaser Sheni. You're allowed to transfer the sanctity of the fruits onto money and bring the money up to Yerushalayim and have them eat from it, because then that's like a Mekach Tais. They, what we thought, we're working for you, we know we could eat as we're working, you didn't tell us, and therefore it's his obligation to redeem it and feed them. Similar halacha, nisparas to igulov. If let's say they used to make round cake of dried figs, and that cake got undone, or nispatru chaviyasim, or his barrel got opened up, and he wants them to put the figs together or to close the barrel, sahari elu lo yechlu. So their workers are not allowed to eat from the wine and from the figs. And the reason for that is because it's already had been finished, the process, which already makes it obligated meister. And as we taught in the previous staff, the permission of eating is only up until the chiv of meister. Once there's obligation of meister, then there's no permissibility of consumption. Now again, im lo hoidiyan, but if you didn't tell him this, we thought the figs were the first time being put together, which didn't have the obligation of meiser yet. We thought the barrel wasn't yet put on, not that it came off and being put back. So we didn't tell them. So ma'aser machilin, he has to separate tithes to the employer and then allow them to eat from it as they're working from it. The Mishnah concludes with a halacha that was not mentioned in the previous daf. Shremi peiris, those who watch the produce, oichlin mehilchas medina, they eat from the provincial custom, meaning to say that is how the people have already accustomed themselves. But it's not a biblical law. Someone that's watching produce is not including this biblical law allowing the worker to eat, but that's the meaning of Medina, that's already the custom of the country, and therefore they are allowed to eat. So on this last halacha, the Gemara says, Shemri Peiris, those who watch the produce, we have Machlikas, Rav, and Shmuel, and how to qualify this halacha. Amarav, he says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn that a Shemer doesn't eat biblically. It's only from Hilchas Medina. That says, Rav, that's Elo Shemer Ginis or Pardesin. That's only for a watchman, someone that's watching a garden or an orchard where the items that he's watching are attached to the ground at a time when it's not the Gemar Malachia, the product is not at the end of the process. So that's why biblically the worker doesn't eat and he has to eat from Hilchas Medina. Now, as Rashi points out, what Rav is saying is that for sure the concept would be that if someone is working on the field that has attached produce, for example, if he's weeding, then that would be definitely included in the halacha that he would be eating from Minig HaMedina. So although biblically the halacha is that you don't eat from something that's attached to the ground, it's only when it's at the end, which is like threshing, when you're finishing the process of what was attached to the ground, here where you're working, and you're not even working, here you're just watching something attached to the ground, biblically you don't eat, and that's Milchas Medina. So it says Rav, that's only because it's a shamer of what type of peiris that are attached to the ground. Avul, but says Rav, shamer gitois va'aremos. But if let's say he's watching a wine press or a pile of produce, meaning it's detached, but it's just not, doesn't have the chiyav meiser, because once it has the chiyav meiser, no one is allowed to eat biblically, but it's that it didn't have yet the gemar malacha for the obligation of meiser, there has to be a certain process that it's reached to have the obligation of meiser, so it's detached, but it's not yet a chiyav meiser, then says Rav, even though he's not working, he's just watching it, then he actually even eats from the biblical law, just like the halacha is when you do with something that's talish, that's detached. With halacha is that if it didn't yet have the chiyav meiser, then you go ahead and you eat biblically. Says Rav, the same thing would apply to someone that's watching by this detached things, which is like by the wine press, which is detached already, or this pile of produce. And the reason says the Gemara is because Savar, Rav held mishamir ka'isa meiser dami. Watching is the same as doing an action. In other words, the Torah tells us that a worker that's picking grapes, that's picking the grain, he could eat. So says Rav, that same halacha is by watching, is considered also doing an action. So that halacha of shomer peiros is, the Mishnah says, is you don't eat biblically, you only eat because of the custom of the location. That's not talking about shomer gitis va'aremos by things that are tallish. That, just like a regular worker would eat min ha'Torah, so to a shomer would. This shomer peiros is a chiddush in saying that although it's still attached to the ground, which even when you're working from the ground, you don't get to eat biblically. But that's what the Mishnah is saying, that not only if someone works the ground, he's going to eat Milchas Medina, but even if he's just being shomer, he's also going to eat Milchas Medina, because again, according to Rav, shomer is the same as working. And the chiddush of the Mishnah primarily is not in the shomer part, but in the fact that the peiros that are attached to the ground, even though biblically you don't eat, but Milchas Medina, you will eat. That's the interpretation of Rav. Shmuel Amar, he has a different interpretation of Halacha the Mishnah. He says, Loi Shanu, we didn't learn that you are allowed to eat, at least, even though biblically you don't, but Mehilchas Medina you could eat. He comes from the other angle. He says, no, that's actually Ela Shomer Gitis Va'aremos. That is only a permission by someone that's watching, by the wine press or by the piles, which are things that are tallish, that are detached, which, if someone was working with those things, would be biblically eating. And that says Shmuel, if he's only watching, that's where we say, okay, Milchas Medina, you could at least eat it, but biblically you wouldn't. But if someone's watching a garden or an orchard, which are things that are attached, says Shmuel, then he doesn't eat biblically, and he doesn't even eat Milchas Medina. And the reason for that is Kasavir Mishamra Lav Kaisa Maisadam. He holds that someone that's watching, it's not like you're doing an action. And therefore, biblically, a shomer never gets to eat. But when did the Rabbanan say that there is this rabbinic law, this Milchas Medina, that allows the shomer to eat? That's if biblically the worker who would be working it would be eating, which is like by case of Talish, from the Gitris and the Aremis, which are detached. Then, if you're being shomer, okay, Milchas Medina, that's the custom already that they allowed him, if he's also watching, to eat. But by someone that's mechuber, where even if someone that was working, by like a ginus and bardesim, would not eat biblically, then we don't have this halacha of Milchas Medina that someone that's watching would be allowed to eat. So again, the ramifications of their disagreement is based on the fundamental principle, if a shomer is really the equivalent of like a regular worker, like the way Rav holds, or like Shmuel says, that's not true. A shomer really is not like someone that does an activity, is like a worker. It's not like that. And therefore, only we made that dispensation, the Hilchas Medina, is only in the case when If biblically he would eat if he was a worker, okay, then if he's a shomer, then you'd be allowed to, which is only by this gittes and aremus, and not by ginis or pardesim. So Masav Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, he asked from the following braisa on Shmuel. The braisa says, Hameshamer esa para. If someone was safeguarding the para aduma, the red heifer, from when it was slaughtered until they gather the ashes, which has to be kept in a state of purity. So if someone is just safeguarding it, metame begadim, that person who is watching it, his garments become tame. As the Mishnah says in Masechtas Parah, whoever is involved in the preparation of the Parah Aduma, from the beginning till the end, his garments become tame. So ask the Gemara, V'i amrit misham alav koisa ma'isa dami. If you say like Shmuel, that watching is not like you're doing an activity. So amai metame begadim, why is then the one who's watching his garments become tame? If you said it's like Rav, that's like you did the activity, so it means you're being involved in the parah aduma, so then your garments become tame. But if watching is not like you're doing the activity, so why should your garments become tame? So Amar Rav Bar Uli says you're right. It's not difficult on Shmuel. It's a gezerish shemeyazes be'aver. It's actually a rabbinic decree to say that the one who's watching his garments should become tame, and it's not biblical. It's just a concern that maybe when he's watching, he might move one of the limbs, and then he would have involved himself in the parah aduma, which then biblically he would be tame, his garments. So therefore, rabbinically, they said, even if you're just watching, yeah, his garments are going to be tame too. But you're right. It's still that if he's watching, it's not like he's actually doing a maisa. So I'm going to ask another question on Shmuel. Masar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asked from the following braisa. The braisa says, Hameshamer arba v'chamish mikshoyz. If someone was watching four or five different fields of, meaning of five different people, he was watching these fields that grow on them squash. So says the braisa, Hareza lo yamali kresi me'echanan. So if he's watching five different people's fields of squash, although he's allowed to eat when he's working, he should not fill up his stomach by eating from just one of the people's squash. Rather, proportionately, he eats from each and every one an equal amount so that his eating should be equally distributed amongst all the people that he's watching. That's what the Braisa says. Says the Gemara, V'yamit misham alav koyse ma'isa dami. Now, if you hold like Shmuel, that watching is not like doing an action, samay oichel. Why does he eat in the first place? You said, that was Shmuel's opinion, that if someone watches somebody that's attached to the ground, that even from Hilchas Medina he doesn't get to eat. So obviously, you have to say that watching is like doing an action. And therefore, he is going to be eating, although he's only watching, but at least, in other words, although watching is the same as doing an action, but since it's attached to the ground, but like Rav said, but at least Melchus Medina, you'll be able to eat. So obviously you see that someone that's watching something that lets it was detached from the ground, and even biblically he would eat, which is not like the way Shmuel was saying. So that the Gemara answers, no. Amar Rav Shimon bar Ashi, ba'akurin shanu. What we're talking about here when he's watching the fields of squash is not that they're attached to the ground. Actually, the whole squash plant was uprooted with its roots, with the squash with them. Now, actually, Rashi says that's actually meduik, and that's why it was called mikshoyis, and it wasn't called kishuin, because he's actually watching them not when they're attached to the ground, but rather when they were already detached, when they're already tullish, and that is, you're right, says Shmuel, like that was the halacha of the Mishnah, the way he defined it, where if it's detached, and if he was really working, he would be biblically eating, that's what the Hilchas Medina says, that in this case, although he's not working it, he's only watching it, but since it's tullish, then he could go ahead and eat it. And therefore, it's not difficult according to Shmuel. Now, that thing I'm going to ask, Akurin, but if you're saying it's talking about that the squash was already detached, but v'haloi nigrim ha'malachten l'maiser, but then there's no process of like creating a pile like you do by grain. It's already considered the end of the processing of squash, and thus it makes it obligated meiser. And we know the halacha of allowing the worker to eat is only up until it's mechoyv meiser. So if it's already akurin, it's already detached, then how could he be eating from it? Even in the biblical law, you can't eat it because it's already mechoyv meiser. The Gemara says, no, just being uprooted from the ground doesn't yet make it mechoyv meiser. Because shalei nitel pika shalem, that little perach, the blossom that's on the top of the squash, the Gemara tells us on the Pechesim Abeis that squash is only mechuyev ma'isa when that blossom falls off. And it didn't fall off yet, and therefore it's not mechuyev ma'isa, therefore the halacha is you could still eat. And therefore, since he's watching by Talish, that's where the Hilchas Medina, according to Shmuel, is the halacha, the Mishnah, that he's allowed to eat. So the questions are not difficult on Shmuel. Now, Amar Rav Ashi says, actually, kavasei de Shmuel mistarba. So now he goes the other way. Rav Ashi says that it's actually more logical to say, like Shmuel, in other words, what he said, that even someone that's working and someone that's attached to the ground, if it's not yet the Gemar Malocha, the end of the process of what's attached to the ground, then even Melchus Medini can't eat. And for sure, when you're only watching someone that's attached to the ground, at a time when it's not Gemar Malocha, and he didn't do an action, that for sure the Halacha would be that he's not allowed to eat. And rather that the Mishnah that said that someone that's watching could eat was talking about when we're safeguarding somebody that's already was tallish, already detached from the ground. That was how Shmuel interpreted the Halacha of the Mishnah. Says Rav Ashi, it's actually inferred from this, from the Tznan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Peizayin and Aleph. The Mishnah said, Ve'elu oichlem in atayra, and these are the workers that eat from biblical law, which are, Ha'isa b'mechubur lekarker b'shas gemar malacha. If someone is working at a field from things that are attached to the ground at the time of the completion of the work, which is when he's picking, harvesting the grapes and the grain, that's one type of worker that biblically eats. Ubitolish v'chulu, and if, let's say, that's already detached from the ground, which has not yet been obligated in the Chiyuv Ma'aser, that's also where he biblically eats from what he's working with. That's what the Mishnah says over there. Now, Mechlal, the inference is, the Ikra, that there are those workers, the loika ochel min atara, that they don't eat from biblical law, Ella, but rather, Melchus Medina, but they eat from the customary law. In other words, if there was no middle ground, the Mishnah should have just said that these are those who eat. Which are these cases? It doesn't say that. These are those who eat from Minatayra, which the Mashmois, the inference is, but there are those that don't eat Minatayra, but they eat Melchus Medina. Now, what would those cases be? Either when it's attached to the ground at a time when it's not yet Gemar Malacha, or if he's working with somebody that's detached from the ground at a time when it was Gemar Malacha already, which doesn't allow it, by Tolish only if it was not yet Gemar Malacha, because Gemar Malacha is already obligated already. Or something that didn't grow from the ground. And because the halacha of biblical law is only for something that was grew from the ground, like the pasuk mentions there, grapes and grain. So the mashmois would be that those people, those workers would eat, but not melchus taira, but rather melchus medina. Now, says the Gemara, Eimer Seifim. Now look at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the elu she'ein oichlin, these are those who don't eat. Now, my ein oichlin, what is that part of the Mishnah when it says, these are those who don't eat? But if you were entertained to say it means those that don't eat from biblical law, but they eat Melchus Medina, but then Hayne Reisha, that's already included in the inference of the case that was mentioned from the Reisha. Meaning the Mishnah already told us that these eat biblically, but that those who don't eat biblically eat Melchus Medina. So what is it then saying that these are those who don't eat? Rather, must be that the case of the Sefer are talking about those that don't eat not biblically and not in Melchus Medina. Mind you, what are those cases mentioned over there in the Sefer? The case mentioned was if someone is working with someone that's attached to the ground, at a time when the conclusion of the process is not done yet, let's say like weeding. The chol shekain, and for sure, shoymigin is badesis. If he's not even working what's attached to the ground, he's only watching, let's say, the case that we discussed, which is a garden and the orchard, that for sure he's not going to eat. In other words, you have to define now that when they mentioned there in the Mishnah, min hatayra, that it mentioned in the Reish of the Mishnah, and that it was telling us that there are other ways, there are other people that eat, but not biblically, which are those who are watching when it's detached. If it wasn't yet Gemar Malacha to be obligated in Ma'aser. Now, the reason for that is, as Shmuel had said, because since he's not doing an action, so he doesn't eat from biblical law, he only eats from Melchus Medina. Because if it was talking about like the way Rav's opinion was said in the Gemara, that he was watching something that's attached to the ground, that you can't say. Because even if he'd be doing an action, the Sefer, the Mishnah tells us that he doesn't eat at all, as we inferred from the inference of the Reisha, if it was not yet Gemar Malacha. So therefore, if even working what's attached, for sure if he's just watching what's attached, which like Shmuel, that those people don't eat not Mehilchas Torah and not even Mehilchas Medina, which is not like the way Rav had said that the Halacha Hilchas Medina of our Mishnah of Shemir Peres was even talking about that it's attached to the ground. Obviously, it's Mistaba like Shmuel. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues on the theme of the last Halacha that was mentioned in the previous Mishnah, which is what we just discussed in the Gemara. We talk about Shomer Peiros, about a Shomer. So the Mishnah continues, Arba Shomer Hen. It goes into the Halachas of the four types of watchmen that there are mentioned in the Torah. And they are, Arba Shomer Hen are Shomer Chinam, someone that's watching for free. Vashayel, someone that's watching for total gain, where he's borrowing the item. Nisi Sachar, someone that's watching for pay, he's getting paid to watch it. And Vasechar, someone that's renting someone else's thing. Those are the four types of Shomer, where he's renting and he has to watch, make sure what he's renting doesn't get damaged. So the Mishnah explains, Shomer Chinam Nishba Lakoil. So someone that's watching for free, he's doing the guy a favor, he swears regarding all situations. In other words, regarding all the situations that are mentioned regarding the other Shomer that they're liable in, the Shomer Chinam just swears that this is what happened, and he's exempt. And the Gemara later on, Perek HaShel, Dav Tzad Dal Mambez, will learn all these halachas from Pesukim. So that's the halacha of the Shomer Chinam. So unless if he's negligent, he just swears that this is what happened, he's exempt. In contrast, a borrower, he's liable for everything, meaning for all the situations of if it gets stolen or if it gets lost or if it was even the einus beyond his control, he pays in all situations if something happened to it. Whereas when they see they're in the middle, someone is watching for pay or if he's renting, they're in the Shboyim, they swear to be exempt in situations of Al HaShmur, if it breaks, Al HaShvuy, if it gets taken in captivity, Val HaMesor, if it dies, which are situations of einus. But they pay if it gets lost or if it gets stolen. So says the Gemara, who's the Tana of our Mishnah that says that there are four types of watchmen that have unique halachas? So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Bavu. It says, Remeir, it's Remeir. No, before the Gemara has a chance to explain, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Is there any opinion that holds that there are no four shomer? Obviously, there are four shomer that are mentioned in the Torah, which are those mentioned in our Mishnah. So rather, Amalei, he said to him, listen to what I was telling you. When I said, who's the Tana of our Mishnah, Abba HaShemim, I meant that element which equates someone that's a renter to someone that's getting paid to watch. Because the Mishnah said by both of them that they're exempt from Einus, and they pay by Gnei Aveda. Who's that? That's Remeirhi, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Because first the Gemara actually asks, what do you mean? V'Remeir Ipcha Shemileya. To the contrary, Remeirhi actually learned the exact opposite of our Mishnah. The time, because we learn the Brice as follows. Seichu Ketzed Mishalim, the Brice explains this halacha. A renter, how does he pay? According to which category of Shemir does he fit into? Remeir Emir Kishem Mechinim, he says like he's an unpaid guardian. Because regarding the watching, he's doing it for free. He's actually paying for the thing that he's renting for. Rabbi Huda Emir Kishem Esachan, Rabbi Huda says that it's like someone that's getting paid to watch, because ultimately he's getting a gain by the item that he's renting, and therefore he's like a Shem Esachar. So actually, it's Rabbi Huda that would be like the Tana of the Mishnah, and not Rabbi Meir. So that says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Baravua Ipcha Ketan, he actually learned the Braisa, the exact opposite. He learned that when the Braisa says, Seichu Ketzed Bishalem, that it was Rabbi Meir who said it's like a Shem Esachar, and Rabbi Huda said like a Shem Echinim, and according to his Girsa, the Tana of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, Arba, so how could we say in the Mishnah that there's four types of Shomer and Shloshin, and there's actually three, because a Seichu and a Nisei Sachar are the same thing. So Amar Nachmi Yitzchak, he says, no, it's Dalad Shomer. There's four types of watchmen. A guy who's watching for pay is not the same thing as a guy who's renting. But Vidinim Shleisha. But yeah, their laws are three. The category of a Naisei Sachar, meaning a Shomer Sachar, and a Sachar fit into the same halachic category, although they're different cases of categories of different types of Shomer. Now the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas, that Ahu Raya, there was a certain shepherd, that he was grazing the animals that he had under his care by the river of Nahar, by the edge of the river Papa. Now, Sreik Chodeminayu, so one of the animals slipped, the Nuflis lion fell into the water. So Asla Kameh de Rabbah, Patrick came in from the Rabbah, and Rabbah says he's exempt from liability to the owner of the animal. Amr, he said, my have a little mabit, says, what should the shepherd have done? As we continue to Amad Beis, he watched the animals the way people usually watch it, and therefore that's not considered like a negligence of like it got lost. Rather, it'd be more in the category of an einus of someone that's beyond his control, and therefore, although this guy's watching for pay, he's a shomer sachar, but it's an einus, and the shomer sachar is exempt from einus. On that, Amalei Abaye asked, Elamiyat, but if that's the case, so Olamasa b'idna de'aili inchi. Let's say he went into the city, meaning the animals would be in the fields, and the people that had their animals, they would go into the city at certain times, certain intervals. So you're telling me that if the shepherd goes into the city at the time when regular people go into the city, which you're calling this kedinatri inchi, the way people usually watch animals, hachinami depata, you're going to tell me that the shepherd's going to be exempt if anything happens to the animals, where he just left them unattended? Amalei Yins, he says yes, it's the same thing. It's considered einus because that's how people usually watch it. It's not considered like a negligence of Aveda or Geneva. So he asked, let's say Gonapurta says, let's say the shepherd slept a little bit, took a little, you know, siesta, a little nap in the afternoon, but in the Gona Inch at a time when people usually nap. Achanami, the Potter, you're going to tell me that the shepherd's going to be exempt there too? Amalei in, he says, yes, it's the same thing. That's my concept that I'm telling you, that if he watches the way people usually watch it, like here where it just slipped into the water, what should he have done? That's an Einis, not considered an Aveda. On that, Esav, the Gemara asks from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Eluheim Einsin, these are considered Einsin, beyond the person's control, Sheshay Mesach HaPatalein, that a person who's watching for pay, which is what a shepherd is, would be exempt. Kagoin, what's the example the Braisa brings? A Pasuk in Eve. Says Vatipol Shva Vatikochem, that the Shva came and they fell on them and they took. Vesana Arim Hikulifikharv, and the children and the youth, they hit with their swords. So you see that what's considered an einus, if you have people with swords and they're coming, that's an einus. But if an animal just slipping into the water or taking a nap and something happens, that would not be considered an einus. That would be considered more of an aveda, and therefore Shemesachar should be chayv, and this shepherd should be chayv. So Amalei, so he said to him, no, hasam b'chazoni masa. That braisa that's defining the difference between an einus or would be considered an aveda is talking about by the watchmen of the city at the nighttime, where the whole entire city depends on these watchmen, where they have to watch their bodies, meaning the people of the city's bodies and their monies. They need to watch at a high level. Their obligation, their standard is much higher. And therefore, yes, an einus for them would only be if the people come with swords, that's an einus. But things less than that, you're right, would be considered an aveda. But for a regular shomer sachar, like a shepherd, actually an einus is already, even if the animal just slips into the water. Meaning if he'd watch the way people usually watch. The Gemara continues to ask, Esavet, we learned in the Braisa that qualifies, ad masai shomer sachar chayv lishmar. Until what standard does a paid guardian have to watch? Says the Braisa, ad kedei, until it's going to be like it says in the Pasuk Bereishis, where Yaakov said to Lavan, hayisi I was, bayoyim achalani chayv, during the day I ate, meaning I endured heat, the kerach balayla, and ice at nighttime, meaning that's considered a standard that's obligated for a shomer sachar, which is much greater than how people usually do. And therefore, the case that happened over here, the shepherd should be liable for an animal just slipping into the water. So Malay said to him, no, hasam nami b'chazan amasa, that braisa, when he's qualifying a shomer sachar, a paid guardian, is also talking about the attendance of the city. That's a much higher standard than the regular shomer sachar. On that, Malay, Abaya asked him, Atu Yaakov Avinu Chazan Masav? What do you mean? You think Yaakov Avinu was the watchman of the city? This is Yaakov Avinu talking about. And the Bryce is equating the Shomer Sachar to Yaakov Avinu. How can you say it's talking about a category of like a watchman of the city? And that answer is no. The Amma Leila Lavan, because that's what Yaakov had said to Lavan. Natru Lachni Tirusi Sirasa. I'm going to watch you such a great level of watching. Kichazani Masa, like the watchman of the city. And that's what the Bryce is equating when it's saying that that's the level of a Shomer Sachar, meaning that high standard of Chazani Masa. But a regular watchman, that's what he says. If you watch how people usually watch, that's enough, and beyond that would be considered anointness. So the Gemara continues asking, Esavei, from the following Bryce, Raya Shahaya Raya, if a shepherd was grazing, V'nich Edroi Uvolayir, and he left the flock, and they came to the city. Nabazi V'ta'araf, and a wolf came and pounced, and mauled Uvari Bedaris, and a lion came and pounced. Now, Rashi says the different terminologies is that a lion, the norm is that it pounces on the animal where it finds it, and it kills it there. Whereas the reason why the Lashon Tarif is used by a wolf is because it mauls it when it's alive, and it brings it to a place where it's confident that it could take it on, and it only kills it in that other area. That's why it uses the different terminologies. So, if let's say that happens, where he left the flock, and at that interim, the lion or the wolf came in and killed it. So the Gemara says, "Ein oimrim." We don't say "Ilo hayosham hayematzal." Oh, if you would have been there, you would have been able to save it. No, elo oim denayse. Rather, we first evaluate im yachal lahatzal chayev. If it's something that he could have and he would have been able to save the flock, then he's going to be liable. Vimla pata. But if let's say something he would not have been able to, then even though he wasn't there, he's going to be exempt. That says the Gemara. My love, isn't it talking about the old Be'idna de Ailinchi? What's it talking about? What do you mean that he went to the city? Meaning, it's talking about that he went when people usually go in. That's where they go in, and he did the same thing. And yet, in spite of that, you see that he's going to be chayiv if he could have saved. And yet, you said that would be considered an einus because he was the Natrianchi. And yet, we see that he's going to be chayiv. That says the Gemara, no. is Tuma Da'al Be'idna Delayali Inchi. This that we said that he left the flock and he went into the city, he didn't go and he didn't watch how people usually watch because he went at a time that people don't usually go. And therefore, if he could have saved, then he's going to be Chayiv. That the Gemara asked, but Ihachi, if that's the interpretation, then Amai Potter, then why is he exempt in the case of when we evaluate and we see that he could not have saved? But still, this is what's called Tchilosei B'Pshia. The initial was a negligence. In other words, regarding all other damages that would have been small and easy things that he could have saved, there, since he left and he came to the city when he wasn't supposed to, that was a negligence that he started off with. Now, the Seifai, now at the end, you're right, although ultimately a damager that was very strong came on the flock, that if had he been there, you're right, he could not have saved it, but still, although that's going to be considered ba'inis, that would be something that's beyond his control, but since in the beginning, what he started off with, where he left when he's not supposed to, was considered negligence, that what's called chalas v'pshiyah v'seif, ba'inis, the halacha is, that's chayiv, and that's how the Gemara concludes in Perek HaMafkanaf, Mem, that if you start off with negligence, although at the end was something beyond the control, that negligence is the primary cause, and you're going to be chayiv. So then, why are you saying then if it's something that's beyond his control and we evaluate it as such, he would be pater, but if he went in at a time when he's not supposed to, that's chalas v'pshiyah, masev b'ainis, and he should be chayiv. So the Gemara says, because the shama kol aryeh v'ol. The reason why he went in when people don't usually go in is because he heard the roar of a lion and out of fear, which is an oinis, so that's why he went into the city. So the Gemara says, ihache, but then if that's the case, so oim din oi, so you said we evaluate. You see, oh, could he have saved them or not? But my havalele mevid, what should he have done? He heard a lion roaring, you run for the hills. So why is it that we say, oh, he could have saved, and oh, then he'd be chai. When could you have saved? There's a lion. So the Gemara, how little kadem b'rayim u'b'maklis. No, he should have gone first and gotten shepherds and sticks and tried to scare away the lion. And if we evaluate that he could have then done that, then he's going to be chai. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, my ear, Yishe Mesachar, why does the Brisa then make this qualification specifically regarding a paid guardian? Filosha Mechinim Nami, then this halach applies equally to an unpaid guardian. Because the Hamaru the Amma, the master, had said as follows. An unpaid guardian that could have done this, meaning, although he's exempt if he wasn't negligent, but if he could have scared off the animal with shepherds and sticks and he didn't do that, then that's considered negligence, he's going to be chayiv. So why are we qualifying this halacha just by a shomer sachar? Then the same thing should apply to a shomer chinam. So that says the Gemara. Shomer chinam, you're right. He should have gone first and done these things only but b'chinam. Only if it's not going to cost him anything. And he's not going to have to hire people to come and try to scare off the lion. The reason why we said it by a paid guardian is because they're even asked to hire people, other shepherds, to say, I know you guys can lose work, I'll pay you guys, I need help with this lion. That's the unique halacha, shemesachar, and therefore that's the case that we're describing over here, which is specific and unique to shemesachar, that he has to hire them. Now, v'adkam, it says the Gemara, now how much does he have to pay people on his expense, because he's a shemesachar, to go ahead and protect the flock from the lion? Says Digmar ad kedei demayan, until the value of how much the animals are that he's watching. Now on that Digmar asks, behechin mitzina b'shem esachar shechay b'insin. Where do we find that we hold a paid guardian liable for things beyond his control? In other words, you are making him responsible to hire people from his own funds. Yet a lying into something that's beyond his control. Now he could protect it, but it's an einus. Why? The only way he could protect it is if he hires people. But why are you holding him liable to have to pay out of his pocket for something that's beyond his control? Although he could protect from it, but why should he be liable for that? And that says the Gemara, no, you're right. The Hadr Shokl Demein Mebalabayis. He's going to go get paid back from the homeowner. But Hashem Echinim doesn't have to do that. Hashem Esachar, because he's getting a greater benefit, he has to pay out of his pocket, but he will get reimbursed because since it is ultimately an Einus, he doesn't have to, he has to take it and downgrade it from money, and then he can protect the animals, but he'll get paid back from the owner. So on that, Omalei Rapapala Abaya, so he asked, but if that's the case, Mayahani Lemene, what exactly does the owner gain from this whole process? You're telling me that he should, if the animals, the flock is worth $1,000, and he's going to have to hire people and a whole paratroopers and everything, and he's going to have to spend $1,000 until the value of the animals, so it's going to, and he's going to, the owner's going to have to pay him, what does he gain? I'm paying you $1,000 when the whole value of my flock is worth $1,000. On that says the Gemara, no, there are two differences. There are two reasons why you would do that. First of all, nafka mina lekushra dechivasa, because of the quality of the animal. In other words, you already know this flock, and they're accustomed to the routines that you have. So, although yes, it's the value of them, but you'd rather hold on to what you have. Inami, or another relevant reason, is latarchi yisayrasa, for an extra effort. In other words, that he doesn't have to exert himself now to go out and find and buy animals. You're right, it's the same amount of money, but it is worth it for him, for you to have to go ahead and hire people and then get reimbursed from him so that he can hold on to the flock that he has. So therefore, there's no difficulty on the interpretation that we set, which was that he explained to Abaya that since he watched that way people usually watch, so that's going to be considered. Anything beyond that, like if the animal slips into the water, is going to be considered an oinus. And as we said in all these cases, we just explained the previous brisa, where there's no liability for beyond. There are cases of chazanei masa, which are considered higher standards, but a regular shet mesacher, like a raya, like a shepherd, only has to watch the way people usually watch. Now, however, the Gemara brings that Rav Chisda v'Rabba Rav Huna loy svir lohu had Rabba. They did not hold of this halacha of Rabba that he said that as long as you watch kedinat your inch like people usually watch, then whatever is beyond that is considered oinus in your exam. They did not hold like that because the army they said no lahachi yave lach igra. There's a reason why we're paying you. Linturi li nitirusa yisei rasa. I expected you to watch for me extra higher standard of watching. So now, although it's not a negligent, but it's definitely not going to be considered an oinus too, and therefore, just like we said a similar svar by chazanei masa, it's going to be considered like an aveda, and therefore, the regard of the amulet slipped into the water, they would hold that the shemer, the raya, would be liable. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas that barada sevela, barada, the porter, the one who would transport things, have a kama'abar chevasa agam lo dinar. She was transporting an animal by the over the bridge of Nerish. Now, one animal pushed the other one. Bishadis b'mayin threw it into the water. Asla kamed rapapa and chayve. He came in front of rapapa and he held him liable. A Malay might have a little mebbe. He said, what should I have done? Didn't we say that if it's beyond the person's control, if it's einis, Yashem Mesach is going to be exempt? A Malay said to him, Iboyluch laburi chadachad. You should have transported them across the bridge one at a time. Then no one would push the other one. So a Malay, so Barada said to him, Yidata baby barachasech, are you familiar with your sister's son, your nephew? In other words, are you familiar with people, with relatives, the people of your people? The Matsilamebuchadukhad, do you know anybody that could take a whole flock and transport them one at a time across the bridge? No one does it. Everyone does it at one time. Amalei, so he said to him, look, kvartzavchu kamoy de kamach, there you're not the first one to make this complaint. There have been those who have complained before you. And no one pays attention to them. You're right. Although that's what everybody does, because who wants to go through the whole effort of transferring one at a time? But ultimately, that cannot be considered an einus because it's not beyond your control. You could have taken them one at a time. Therefore, since one animal pushed the other one in, it's considered like an aveda. And since you're a shem esachar, you're going to be chayv. Another incident the Gemara brings, that Evui, that was the name of the individual, Afkid Kisna, he deposited linen, Bei Runyon, the house of Runyon. Azal Shavu, so this person Shavu was the name of the thief, and he was an armed bandit. He went and Shamti Mineh, and he stole it from the house of Runya. Now, L'Seif Hukar Aganav, at the end, they ultimately found out that the Shavu, he was the thief. So Asla Kamid Rav Nachman, so he came in front of Rav Nachman, this Runya who was watching it for Evoy, and Chayve, and he said that, he told Runya that he has to pay to Evoy that he was watching the linen for. Now, the reason for that is because since now they know who stole it from him, and the Shemer is not going to lose anything, it's just that he has to go through the effort to go to the thief until he gets it back from him. But in the meantime, since he was a Shemer, he has to pay to the one who deposited with him. Now, that the Gemara says, Lema pligid Rav Huna Bar Avin. Seemingly that Rav Nachman disputes the halacha of Rav Huna Bar Avin, because the shalach of Rav Huna Bar Avin had sent the following halacha. It said, Nignava Ba'enis. If let's say something was stolen from someone's house, from the Shemer's house, beyond his control, and then they discover who the thief is. So im Shemer chinam hu, if he was watching for free as an unpaid guardian, so ratza nishba, ratza isa imaydin, if he wants to, he could swear and say, look, I'm exempt from Gneva, Vedem, for sure, Einis, and therefore you go ahead and you deal with the thief. Or he could litigate with the owner who gave it to him, the deposit. In other words, what that means is that he could pay. And then he can go to the Ganem and collect from the Ganem. Now, that's what the Gemara says, that they're disputing, because Runya was a Shrei Mechinam. And yet Rav Nachman said that he, since they know who the Ganav is, has to pay to the one who deposited with him, and he has to be busy with the Ganav. Which is not like the way Rav Huna Bar Avinat said that if it's a Shrei Mechinam, he has the option. He could pay and then go to the Ganav, or he could just swear and exempt himself. Continues Rav Huna Bar Avin, Im Shem Esachu, but however, if he's a paid guardian, then Oysa Yimai Din Ve'ininish, but then he has to go ahead and pay up to the owner, and then get it from the thief himself, and he can't just swear, which essentially he really would be exempt because it really was an einus. He's not allowed to because of the higher standard, since he's getting a gain that he was getting paid for it. Then he has to go ahead and deal with the ganav himself. But one thing, seemingly, that they're disputing, which is by a shrei mechinam, if you could swear your way out, or you have to be busy with the ganav. That the Gemara says, no, not necessarily that they dispute each other. Amar Rav, he says, Hasam gavri de parmuska. There, in that incident, where with Avi and this Runya, the there were police officers that have a kaima that were nearby, where the Iramakala had he screamed out, have a asu umatzilin, they would have came and saved him from this thief, from this shavu, and therefore on some level it's considered like a negligence, and since it's a negligence, therefore even the shemer chinam is going to be liable to have to deal with the ganav and compensate to the owner, and therefore it's not, doesn't dispute, meaning even Rav Huna Bar Avin would agree in that situation, although he's a Shrei Mechinam, that although generally he could be nishba and exempt himself, in this situation it was more like a negligence, and therefore he would have to pay to the owner and deal with the ganav himself. Now the Gemara continues with the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was talking about regarding, let's say, by a Shrei Mesachar, which we spoke about, that he's chayv and ganav aveda, but he's exempt from einsin. So our Mishnah qualifies what is considered in einus. Ze'iv echad eina einus. One wolf is not considered something beyond the shamer's control. And therefore, he'll be chayv. Shnei zev minus. Two wolves is considered minus. Now, Rabbi Yehudaim, he says, b'shas mishlacha zev, at a time when it's a plague of wolves, meaning to say that it's like a heavenly decree, which the wolves just come running in, then even one wolf will jump on a person, then av zev echad oynes, and even one wolf is considered a oynes beyond the person's control, and the shamer sach would be exempt if it harms the flock. Shnei klavim ein oynes. Two dogs is not considered an oynes. Now, but yedua habavli oymer mishum Meir, he says miruach achas ein oynes. Only if they came from one direction, that is not an oynes. But mishtei ruach is oynes. If the dogs came from two different directions, then it's beyond his control and he's an exempt. Halistim, which Rashi explains, is talking about one bandit. Hariz oynes, that's considered beyond the shemer's control. Hari, the lion, Hadoiv, the bear, Vanomer, the leopard, Vabardlis, which Rashi says that's Poitash Balas, which some interpret that as a polecat, Vanochash, and the snake. Hare Elo Ainus, these are animals that are beyond the person's control, and therefore he's exempt. Now, says the Mishnah, Amasai, when did we say this? Bizman Shebo Mealein, when these wild animals come by themselves, so it's an Ainus. Aval Hailichan Lamakim Gidudi Chayvalistim, but if let's say the Shomer went and brought his flock that he's watching to this place of wild animals or where there are bandits, then ain't no einus. That's not an einus because you brought them to that situation. Says the Mishnah, Mesa Kedarka, if let's say the animal dies in its normal way, it's einus, beyond his control, that expiration is from heaven. But let's say Sugfa, let's say he tormented the animal by hungering it or putting it in the sun in the summer or in the winter in the cold, where he's tormenting the animal, and then the animal dies, then ain't no einus, then obviously, although it expired by itself, that's not an einus, and it's going to be chayv. Now let's say also la roshei tsukin benafla. Let's say, as the Gemara actually explains this in Perka Mafri, the Flam Levav Mabez, it's talking about where the animal itself pulled the shimer, he was holding onto it, and the animal was stronger, and pulled him up while he's watching it up to the top of the cliff, which is very, very pointy and steep, and then the animal falls off. Sorry, it's einus, because what should he have done? He was trying to hold on to the animal, but it pulled him up to the top, and then on the top of the mountain, it makes sense that it could fall off. But halal rashi tzokin menaflo mesa. But if let's say he brought up the animal to the top of the cliff, and then it fell off and died, then einus, then it's not einus, because he brought it to that situation. It's his negligence, and therefore he's going to be chayav if it falls. Now, the Gemara asks regarding the halacha, the resha, that our Mishnah said that one wolf is not an oynus, and that the Gemara asked, but Tanul in the Braisa said, Zeiv Echad oynus, that one wolf is an oynus. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, not a difficulty. Yahi b'shas meshlacha ze'evim. That Braisa is talking about at a time of a plague of wolves. Rabbi Yehuda is going like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, who said that during a meshlacha ze'evim, even one wolf is considered an oynus. Now the Mishnah said, halista mariza oynus, that the bandit, if he comes and he harms the animal, that's considered einus. That says Gemara, Amai, why? Luki gavla hadi gavra. Put one man against one man. You have the bandit and you have the shomer. He should be able to protect the animal. Why is that considered einus? Rav explains ballista mezuim, to my armed bandits. A guy comes with a rifle. There's not one man against one man. He's got a rifle, and therefore that's considered einus, and therefore he's potter. Now, the following question, however. Listim mezuim, verdroyim mezuim mahu. Let's say the bandit is armed, but so too is the shepherd, an armed shepherd. What's halacha in that case? As the Gemara explains, mi amrin and uki gavra l'hadi gavra, do we say now it's one against one against, and therefore it's not an einus? Eidimo, or maybe, no. Hai maser nafshe, the bandit, he came with the intention of to kill or be killed. That's what his profession is. And that's what his intention is when he's coming to steal. Therefore, he's going to give up his life. But vahai, but the shepherd, loy maser nafshe, he's not responsible to give his life up for it. And therefore, maybe he's still going to be potter, even though he's armed. That says the Gemara, mistabr, the hai maser nafshe, vahai loy maser nafshe. The Gemara says, you're right, it's logical to say that the bandit, it's not just that he's armed, he's also ready to give up his life. In contrast to the shepherd, he's armed, but he's not ready to give up his life, and therefore it's not equivalent, and therefore it's still something beyond his control, and therefore it's an einus, and he's going to be potter. Now, Amli Abayla Ravi says, let's say Ashkeche Raya. Let's say a shepherd encounters a thief before he took anything, and he's talking the talk, and he's exaggerating, and Va'amalei, and he tells to the thief, he says, Gan Vesaria, which would be like filthy thief. And he's taunting him. Beduch de plan yisvinan. You want to know? We are in that location. As a continuous type of tzadi dalman alf. And kach v'kach gavri kibadon. This is how many people we have in the place where we're grazing. And he's taunting him. He's saying, you're going to come there. You're going to die. Kach v'kach kalbi kibadon. That's how many dogs we have. Kach v'kach zuksa. That's how many people that have slingshots that psikolon that have made up that we have hired them, that they're going to be with us every single day. And just you try and come and steal from us. And then the thief actually comes and he ends up stealing from him. My, what's the halacha? So Amalei said to him, what do you mean? This is like the halacha of our Mishnah. He brought his flock to a place of bandits and of wild animals. In other words, since he told them all the points of where the location and where he is and what all the different points. So since he provoked him, that's like bringing it to a situation of a listim to come and steal. So therefore, although essentially really is an einus because he listim mezuin, but he brought it to that situation. Just like if the animal went by itself and fell off the cliff, it'd be exempt. Or the number and the bartlis come and would attack, it'd be exempt. But if you bring it to that situation, you're chayiv, here he brought it to that situation, and therefore that the shomer would be liable.